China enacted its first anti-domestic violence law in 2016. 2 years later, and in honor of the just passed International Day of the Elimination of Violence Against Women, designated by the United Nations General Assembly, well, we know that the premise of the day is to raise awareness of the fact that women around the world are subject to rape, domestic violence, and other forms of violence. Furthermore, one of the aims of the day is to highlight that the scale and true nature of the issue is often hidden. So on Roundtable, we look at the deeper issues, the deeper reasons of a lot of, well, social phenomena that happens around us. So first thing first, guys. Well, how do we define domestic violence?
Yeah, let's firstly clarify the definition of domestic violence according to our law. So according to the law, it defines that domestic violence is not only limited to physical harm, but also psychological harm inflicted between family members. So those behaviors including beatings, injuries, restraint or forcible limits on physical liberties, also as well as recurring verbal threats and abuse. And also, as we highlight here, it's not only between family members. So for example, if the violent behaviors are between people, but they are not family members yet, but they live together, they shall also be dealt with according to this law. So it means the law also applies to lovers, but maybe they just live together without getting the marriage registration.
Yeah, I think it's very important to note here that, you know, this type of domestic violence consists of quite a few things. And again, it's not just, you know, the physical factors that we mentioned earlier, but it's also, there's a sexual aspect to it. There's psychological and socially, there's a social effect to it as well. And initially, the abuse is an attempt by the partner to exert control through intimidation, fear, verbal abuse, or threats of violence. And a lot of the victims of domestic violence may, you know, isolate themselves from friends. And not just friends, but even family or neighbors. And they just completely lose their network or social support. And this has a lot to do. Most people can't really understand the phenomenon. And the first question that a lot of people will ask is, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you still in that relationship? And so the judgment hits people a lot. And so a lot of times when people are victims of this type of violence, it causes them to retract, and they know that people will judge them very harshly. And also it's almost a mechanism to keep their family and close ones safe, because a lot of times if you tell someone, say your father, that you've been, you know, physically abused, the father is probably going to do something very drastic to help you, and in essence end up putting himself in prison or endangering himself. So, and as an example, if anything was to happen to any of my sisters, I mean, I would, as a brother, I would definitely feel obligated to do something about it. And if that puts me in jail or whatever repercussions, you know, result, it's definitely something that I would do for my family. So a lot of victims keep this in mind, and a lot of times they don't like to disclose it to other people. And the abusers, they feel this need to control their partner because of, well, low self-esteem, extreme jealousy, difficulties in regulating anger, and other strong emotions. But a lot of times it's when they feel inferior to the other partner in education or socioeconomical background. So there's a lot of factors involved here. And this is coming from a U.S. online psychological counseling platform called Psych Central. And it's really important that a lot of people have this awareness that a lot of times it's the insecurity and the dominant partner.
Yeah, well, we will get into further in-depth of the reasons, the psychology behind what ends up as two single, simple words, domestic violence, when there's actually a huge black cloud that shrouds it, I suppose. And certainly this is one issue that we see. There's more awareness, and there's finally a law that was enacted in 2016 devoted to one purpose. So have we seen some changes that happen, or let's look at the situation now here in China in regards to domestic violence?
Yeah, based on research, we have some really staggering figures here. Firstly, according to the data provided by the Beijing News last week, among the roughly 430 million families in China, a woman experiences domestic violence from her husband every 7.4 seconds. And also, according to All China Women Federation's figures, about 30% of married Chinese women have suffered from some form of physical abuse from their intimate partners in 270 million families, while they normally call police only after 35 instances of abuse. This means that they are not, if some women, they suffer from domestic violence or their partner did some abusive action to them, they won't report it for the first time. They only waited and endured after 35 instances in general and then report to the police of the issue.
And that is one figure that just really blew my mind when I read it. Here in China, I think everybody should remember that. 35 instances, or let's say 35 beatings or abuses after happening so many times to a woman. Well, 90% of these domestic violence cases, the victim are women. Of course, there are other guys out there who are also suffering, and you know, we're all in this together, you know. So this is one issue that I feel simply we just need to... There isn't enough attention given to it. Although we make it part of our responsibility on Roundtable to bring it up every year, and we need to continue in doing this, because for some reason, Tony, I realize people out there from different countries, different provinces, different backgrounds sometimes have a very different idea of what constitutes domestic violence. One thing that really touched me when you were talking about this earlier is that you feel like you would do anything to protect your sisters and your family.
Right.
But after reading various cases here in China, there's one thing that broke my heart, that sometimes the woman who unfortunately suffered from domestic abuse, and she reaches out to her family, and she doesn't always get the help. Sometimes she's been persuaded that maybe it's best to stay in a marriage because otherwise it doesn't seem the otherwise is a good option. There's a lot of things going on there. There is definitely the traditional belief and understanding of what a family is, what a marriage is, and what label you carry with you on society.
Right.
Huangshan, do you mind giving us a little bit more of the story or the understanding of why do people make that decision or behave that way and sort of want to stay or persuade your family member to stay in a situation that doesn't seem to be beneficial to them?
Yeah, I have to say before, I didn't understand if a woman, like, she has suffered from this kind of situation, why she doesn't speak up and trying to protect herself. But after I watch American TV show, I can kind of understand, because there are so many complicated factors involved. I watched this show called Big Little Lies, and there's a female figure played by Nicole Kidman. Actually, she's the role, I know it's a TV show, but it still reflects some realities in nowadays society. And this lady, she's a very well-educated woman. She used to be a lawyer, but she gave up her career only for the children. And her husband is the too-good-to-be-true kind of guy.
Yeah.
No one will imagine he's actually an abusive husband. And one reason why she didn't speak up is she usually fool herself, you know. She tell herself, oh, I'm live in a very happy marriage, and maybe her husband just sometimes being aggressive, but not reached a degree of domestic violence. And she felt ashamed of telling her close friends, her family about what she's going through. And there's another reason is later on, when her husband was nearly beaten her to death, she's afraid because the guy controlled all of her information and she's so isolated in the house. And if she decided to break up with him, the guy may think, I have nothing to lose. They may just kill her. And also, you know, divorce is not the only resolution, because if the guy really turned crazy, he will do everything. And the third reason was because there are children involved. So being a mom, she doesn't want to harm her children. And sometimes she believed, she even went to the marriage counselor, and they are trying to say, oh, you need to protect your children. Your children will learn from your husband's behavior. But later she said, no, I don't think my child has been influenced by their father. And she said, like, they never hear or saw he was beating me. But later on, it turned out, actual children, they know everything. And also, her children become the boss of school bullying. So actually, your children can learn from your partner's behaviors. And I think the other thing is, all the marriage are started from love and affection. Usually those kind of abusive men, they know how to play weak. They're trying to trigger the mothering instincts in their wives' heart.
It's a mind game that they play, and often it's very manipulative. And the problem is, when you love this man or woman, or, you know, when it started so beautifully, you just never, until you have to, open your eyes to reality. That's how I felt when I read so many case studies about this issue.
And yeah, you mentioned that TV show, but it's unfortunately a very realistic depiction of what goes on, especially in the United States. According to the U.S. Violence Policy Center, which uses the Bureau of Justice Statistics and annual reports about female homicide victims, nearly 3 women are murdered every day in the United States by current or former romantic partners. And so it's a very dangerous situation. And I feel that fear grips a lot of women into not speaking up. Because again, a lot of times when you speak up, you involve family and friends. And this person is ruling this relationship out of intimidation and making violent threats, you know. So if you involve your family, there's a possibility that your family could be killed as well. And it has happened a number of times. Even in my personal life, I've known people that have had problems, you know, from domestic violence, and some people have been killed as well. So it's a very, very sensitive and a potentially dangerous situation. You mentioned that sometimes some victims don't feel that their children are affected, but, you know, according to science, it's not that way. Children or child abuse and domestic violence often occur in the same family. And research has found that about 50% to 70% of the men who frequently assault their wives also frequently abuse their children. So, and you mentioned that the child went to school and also modeled this behavior at school and being a bully. And, you know, children learn by modeling. So if the father is overly aggressive, the kid's going to take, you know, a lot of these behaviors with him, you know, as he gets older. So it's a vicious cycle that this brings to a lot of families. And it's not just, I mean, unfortunately, it's everywhere all over the world.
Yeah. And this is something that I feel people traditionally in China kind of turn a blind eye to, because it was, and still till today, sometimes it's been seen as a private matter. They say that it's what happens between a couple behind closed doors. So outsiders shouldn't get involved. And that is, I think, the common understanding of some people. Although it's changing, but certainly not as fast. And only in 2001 did we see in the Chinese marriage law did physical abuse become a legally recognized reason for divorce. So it's long been just sort of thought as, oh, it's a private matter, it exists only in the private sphere, and why do you want to talk about it? You don't really want to lay it out bare under the sunlight.
I feel like traditionally there's this way of thinking, this faulted way of thinking that women aren't equal to men, and as a result, a lot of men really push this and take advantage of this. And I feel like a lot of these individuals have like an undiagnosed personality or psychological disorder. But a lot of times they learn it from growing up in a household where domestic violence was accepted as a normal part of being raised in the family. Mm-hmm. So they use this as a way to communicate, to show their love.
Oh.
And in some way, and some of the daughters or the women who get involved in these type of relationships, they're victims as well. Not all the time, but sometimes they're involved as well. And so when they grow up and they've seen their father abusing their mother and abusing them, strangely enough, they look for individuals that reflect kind of the same characteristics as their father. And, you know, there's an old saying that, you know, your mother and your father are God in the eyes of your children. Mm. And a lot of times children look for qualities and traits from their parents.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they look for good things, but sometimes they see bad things, and it's acceptable because it's something that they're used to. And that brings me back to, a popular case in the United States. Back in 2009, there was a Larry King Live interview with Chris Brown. A lot of people are familiar with Chris Brown. And he had an incident where he physically assaulted a famous singer named Rihanna.
Mm.
And it was a really big mess in the media. People were so disappointed and distraught. And in that interview, he brought in his mom and his lawyer, and they sat and they talked and discussed how it was. Yeah. And when he was a child, his stepfather used to, you know, beat up his mother. And it's strange how if you could, as a child, you would think that you would experience this and not inflict that on someone else. Mm. But it's again the cycle. Unfortunately, sometimes you take that with you and you exhibit these same behaviors.
And also, I remember Rihanna temporarily got back with him.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, couple of years afterwards, after tabloids were filled with her the pictures of her being battered,
right,
yeah,
right.
And she got a lot of flack for doing that as well. And so I think it's also kind of interesting to see people's reaction or the public opinion towards this issue, because of course we've said this many times on Roundtable that we hate judgment, and nobody has the right to judge another person if it was in a perfect world.
Right.
But here in China, I feel sometimes there's still that stigma that goes to the victim. And that is the part that I'd like to discuss with you guys. 'Cause if the victim feels that she's being shamed or he's being shamed when a tragedy as such is being exposed, then, well, it doesn't work in their favor at all, right?
Absolutely not. And I feel that, again, as I was mentioning earlier, how a lot of the victims tend to push people away. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it's part of the stigma, but also it's just that most people can't understand, because they would, you know, interject their opinions and what they should do. And, you know, you should leave this person. And then, of course, she's thinking of all of the financial and emotional ramifications of that. And what would it, you know, cause to, you know, her children? So there's a bigger picture that a lot of people, the victims feel that a lot of people aren't seeing. And then, of course, there's the fear of what the partner will do. And so there's a lot of things that really shouldn't be on the radar mentally, but they keep that in mind, because again, it's something people can get used to or get comfortable to just about anything. Even though they are in very undesirable, you know, situations in their life, people can get used to it and they can stick with it. But the wake-up call is when a lot of times when people are in the hospital, or unfortunately, sometimes these things have to happen where people have to have a wake-up call and say, oh, wow, you know what? I could actually die in this relationship. I need to change something. And a lot of times these victims don't really look at themselves as valuable. They look at their children, and when their children is endangered, that's when they act. But unfortunately, when it's happening to them, they're so selfless.
And also, I think it's really hard to get evidence to prove yourself sometimes. For example, physical damage or physical violence. Sometimes the guys, some of them look really fabulous. They're dashing cool, and also they're very maybe attractive. So if you say, oh, my husband is actually an abuser, someone may don't believe it. And also sometimes they're really smart. When they beat their wives, they won't beat on the really obvious part. They may just beat them like in the part they are not exposed to the air. So it's hard for you to get evidence. And this is limited to the physical abusive behaviors. What if the psychological abusive behaviors? How could you approve? How could you collect the evidence? And I think at least like the physical abusive is more tangible. But what about psycho thing?
Exactly. And if I feel when there is name calling, when there is threatening, for example, this is where people recluse and they don't contact their family so much because they're afraid of what would happen to them if they found out what was going on. And it's as Heyoung mentioned earlier, it's like a big mind game of control from, well, generally men who have low self-esteem and have this enormous sense of inadequacy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, since 2016, there's a law in China that's been enacted called the Anti-Domestic Violence Law. Mm-hmm. And now victims can go to court knowing that there's one law that can protect them. And we've seen that in the last 2 years that more cases have been taken up by the courts regarding this issue. And on the one hand, I would say it's positive that we see people taking action to get themselves out of the abusive and traumatic relationship or household. But on the other hand, of course, you see that these cases aren't going away. And that is the part that is quite a damper for me, I suppose. But that's one thing that's happening. And also we've seen that there's well, this is not measurable, but we do see that there's more discussion, there's more conversation about domestic violence. And recently, there's been this scandal of a celebrity surnamed Jiang, and he violently abused his girlfriend, and that became something that was very much discussed on Chinese social media. And although it became a little bit of a circus, but I think it's interesting to see people's reaction towards this. So another thing that the law has equipped people with a weapon when it comes to lawsuits is that restraining orders can be issued in China, and that was only after this law has been enacted. So how are we doing on these fronts?
I have a couple of feelings towards restraining orders. Restraining orders are good. You know, it's something that is documented that there has been some type of issue that has taken place. And it's better than nothing. But sometimes the police have to catch you in some type of situation. And sometimes it's too late there's a restraining order against an abusive husband, but sometimes it's too late. It doesn't stop them from acting.
Yes, and that is usually when people feel that there aren't that many more things they can do, and that's the last straw often. So our hearts go out to all of you, all of those people who are suffering from this issue, and you're not alone. And there is a way out. Reach out for help. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back after this break.